This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Mac Pritchard. I'm also the founder of Mac's List. It's a job board in the Pacific Northwest that helps you find a fulfilling career. Every Wednesday, I talk to a different expert about the tools you need to get the work you want. Find Your Dream Job is brought to you by Top Resume. Top Resume has helped more than 400,000 professionals land more interviews and get hired faster. Get a free review of your resume today. Go to maxlist.org/topresume. You will often have to make career choices where you lack experience or knowledge. You can make these decisions by trial and error, or, says today's guest, you can turn to a group of trusted advisors. Niyatu Bensiential is here to talk about why you need your own career advisory board. Niyatu is a holistic career coach for professionals of color and allies. He earned his bachelor's degree in psychology from Hamilton College and master's degrees in psychological counseling from Columbia University. He joins us from East Orange, New Jersey. Well, let's jump right into it, Niyatu. Let's start with the basics. What is a career advisory board?
Sure. I would say that an advisory board is a support system at the end of the day, a collection of individuals who you have a good relationship with, that you trust to provide you helpful advice and guidance, and with the specific focus of supporting you with your career development and advancement.
Is this a formal group that gets together in a downtown hotel conference room, or is it more informal than that?
Definitely a bit more informal, especially nowadays during the COVID world. Like, getting people in person is a little bit more tricky. But putting COVID aside, I would say that this is a bit more of an informal group. I don't see the need to necessarily convene, you know, four or five people who might comprise your board for a regular monthly or every couple of months meeting. It's more so having access to these individuals that you can reach out to at a cadence that works for both of you regularly or more ad hoc based on what your needs are.
And why do you need to do this? How can having a board like this help your career?
I think first and foremost, none of us have all the answers to any of the questions we might face as we develop our careers. We don't have all the experiences necessary. We don't have all the data available necessarily at a specific time in order to come to a good, solid, well thought out decision in the face of a specific task or challenge as we progress in our careers. So having a career advisory board is like building your own brain trust. It's like doubling or trebling your brain power, depending on how many people you get on board who can support you in thinking through issues when it relates to optimizing a difficult work environment, whether it comes to trying to advance your career and gain promotion, whether you're trying to think through a transition or how to really level up your career to attain that next level of leadership that you're looking for. Having this advisory board can give you the input, the guidance, and the support that you need to find success in tackling the challenges you will inevitably encounter in your career progression.
Is this something for, it sounds like something that maybe senior executives or high-powered professionals might do, but can this be helpful to anyone, no matter where they are in their career or whatever their occupation?
100%. I would say that no matter your career level, I don't care if you are a senior in college, you just graduated and you're getting into your first career, or you are a CEO with 30 plus years of experience, I think everyone can benefit from having this team of advisors available to you. I was thinking about someone like Kobe Bryant. He's one of the best basketball players who ever lived. May he rest in peace. Michael Jordan, I would say, was part of his career advisory board. And if someone like Kobe can partner with someone like Michael to get advice, how much more the rest of us? And so from that perspective, I think that we can all benefit from having individuals who can speak into our career life, if I can coin that term, and allow them to give us insights and feedback that we wouldn't otherwise have access to if we rely purely on our own resources and our own intellect.
Who should you invite to join your board?
It's going to certainly look different for different people, but I wrote about four sort of main building blocks for your advisory board. First is having someone who I'd call a champion. And this is not my own language, I want to be fair about that, but these are some of the terms that you might have come across. A champion, this is someone who really believes in you and is someone who is going to be taking active role in helping your growth and advancement, might bring up your name in certain rooms in front of certain people and really trying to present you for opportunities. And this is ideally someone working within your current company if it is a place you plan to be for some time. Next, you might need a mentor. And this is someone who would possess a broad set of experiences and knowledge, might be a fair bit older than you potentially, who's able to give you really sage advice, help you to brainstorm, and help you to figure your way through challenging situations. I also think it's really smart to build the people at around your level, so we can call those smart contemporaries. And so these are individuals that might be at a similar career level to you, who are in similar fields or similar positions, who are going to be rising with you. And it's good to have individuals you're progressing with, so you can share your struggles in the trenches together as you move ahead. And then finally, I would say you might want a professional role model. This is someone who might be anywhere from 3 to 5 or more years ahead of you in terms of their career stage, and someone who embodies where you'd like to one day be, and is someone you can lean on in terms of helping to navigate that upward trajectory to where you want to go.
Now, you mentioned having someone who's in your company and also someone in your profession, but where else do you find these people, Niatu?
I think you find them in all different parts of your life, to be quite honest. There could be someone that you work out with in a CrossFit group, or you work out with the gym, who might be in a completely different field from you, but they're smart, they're trustworthy, and they give good advice. That could be someone you could tap to be on your advisory board. It could be someone who works in a completely different industry from you, or related industry, adjacent one, I should say, that is in a different function, but you would be able to gather insights in terms of how their world works that might apply to how your world works. It comes in all sorts of different shapes and forms. I think it's about having an openness to viewing people as potential resources in this way, and also an intentionality in terms of thinking, I would like to build this board. Who are people in my life that I think would make good candidates to bring into this group?
And what kind of expectations should you have for people who agree to help you? I mean, as you said, you're not meeting in a downtown hotel conference room 4 times a year with agendas and action items, but what are you asking them to do? And how often, and what kind of time commitment are they looking at?
Sure. I think it can really vary. So I'll give the example of my wife. My wife is a clinical director right now. She's a social worker, and she has maintained contact with a former boss of hers at her last full-time role. And they had a very good relationship when she was her employee. And now that she's moved on from the organization, they both have, in fact, they've stayed in contact and speak regularly, as my wife has recently been promoted to this clinical director role. And though the contact has been informal at the start, they're actually in the process of formalizing that relationship, and for her former boss to become more formally her mentor. So they literally have a document that they're going to be outlining their goals, the purpose, the frequency of their meeting. And I just share that example to show how formal it could be should the two parties choose to formalize in that way. I think it also can be a bit more informal. So for example, using myself, I have a group that's on a WhatsApp thread. We are 4 coaches in total who coach in different areas, but we're all at around similar stages. So we talk through WhatsApp, sharing challenges, sharing issues. We try to meet monthly, but it doesn't always happen. And so we meet when we're able. So that cadence is not as steady, but we're there for each other through WhatsApp when we can't meet on a Zoom on regular cadence. Then addressing the second aspect of what you asked me, I think that what you're asking your advisory board to do is to support you in a few different ways. I think they can help you when it comes to giving you objective feedback about what it is you're going through, or giving you a reality check, if you like, when your head might be not necessarily in the right place or you're misreading a situation. I think an advisory board can give you positive reinforcement. We might not always be getting the messages that we need from the environment that we're in. I think they can also provide you with practical guidance, you know, around your development, your job search, and all of that. And then in the most extreme of cases, they can provide you with problem solving or crisis support, depending on what's going on. And so those are things I think you can ask of your board in terms of ways they can support you.
So you know who you want on your board, what you're going to ask them to do. What's the best way to approach someone, Niatu? What's your pitch? What do you say to them?
I think it's important that when it is appropriate, you ask directly. I'll share a scenario where I was actually turned down, but this is part of the process as well. There's a gentleman who was my supervisor during grad school, during my internship, and we had a solid relationship as, you know, a supervisor and supervisee. And years later, when I was building my practice, I reached out to him to ask if he might be, this is before I started my practice, but I asked him if he would be interested in being my mentor. And so he very kindly turned me down. But this is because he didn't have the bandwidth to do so at the time. And he thought that mentoring was a very serious responsibility he wanted to be able to give his all to. And so you can ask very formally, as I did. You might get a yes, you might get a no, but it's important to make the ask. In other cases, it can be something that might evolve a bit more organically, where you build a relationship, you're in steady contact, and it evolves on its own into becoming a mentor, mentee, or advisory board type relationship, where you regularly check in with this person for insight, for advice, you update them, all of that. And so I think even in that scenario, you could still say, hey, you know, we've been doing this for a while. Could we, can we continue this? I really like how this is going. Can you remain on my advisory board? Can you be part of my advisory board and kind of name what's going on for yourself? I think the pitch really comes down to the relationship. And so I can't prescribe a blanket pitch that everyone can use. I think it's about trusting your instincts and reading the nature of the relationship. And you would see that there is already some built up capital in the relationship. There's a good rapport, there's trust, there is vulnerability and openness. And when you have a few of those as baseline ingredients, I think those are what make for a solid advisory board membership and relationship. And then that can lead to a formal ask or just continuing as is in having that relationship that just formed organically.
Terrific. We're going to take a break, Neetu. And when we come back, I want to talk about how a career advisory board can help you during a job search. So stay with us. When we return, Neetu Bensiancho will continue to share his advice on why you need your own career advisory board. Smart job seekers ask others for advice. When was the last time you asked someone to look at your resume? Go to maxlist.org/top-resume. An expert at Top Resume will review your resume for free. Go to maxlist.org/top-resume. Find out what works well in your resume and what doesn't. And you can use the feedback you get to update your resume yourself. Or you can hire Top Resume to do it for you. Go to maxlist.org/top-resume. Now, let's get back to the show. We're back in the MaxList studio. I'm talking with Neetu Bensiancho. He's a holistic career coach for professionals of color and allies. Neetu earned his bachelor's degree in psychology from Hamilton College and master's degrees in psychological counseling from Columbia University. And he joins us from East Orange, New Jersey. Now, before the break, Neetu, we were talking about why you need your own career advisory board, who you might recruit, what you might ask them to do, and how to invite them, and sometimes why they say yes, and sometimes why they might say no. Once you have this board in place during a job search, how can it be helpful to you as you look for your next position?
Sure. One of the things that an advisory board can provide that is beneficial both inside and outside of a job search is emotional and psychological support. It's so important to remember that we are human, whether we are at home or whether we're in the workplace, and we're going to have emotional, psychological challenges that we try to progress through our careers. And most certainly in the incredibly challenging, annoying, frustrating, isolating job search process. And so having career advisory board in this aspect can help you in a number of ways. Number one, with the motivation and the emotional support when it comes to suffering the slings and arrows that are inevitable during a job search. In addition, in other more other tangible ways they can support you as far as networking is concerned, your advisory board will hopefully know people who might be well placed to assist you as you try to reach into a network into specific companies or make introductions for you with individuals in your field or within your industry that can support you in that process. In addition, they can help you to figure out your positioning. Quite often, job seekers are far too close to their own experience, and it's important to have an external perspective to figure out, well, what is my value? What am I really good at doing? What problems am I incredible at solving? How would you pitch me if you were my agent, for example? These are questions and input you can get from your advisory board that might help you to sharpen your career platform and help you be more incisive as you go out there and speak to people and try to match your candidacy to a company's needs. And then in addition, in the job search, it's important to have people that can help you adjust your tactics and your strategy as you go along, because not everything is going to work all the time and you may run into roadblocks. And being able to do a postmortem of a particular, you know, conversation or interaction might be helpful, so you can readjust and do better next time around. And so an advisory board can be really instrumental in assisting you with the different challenges of a job search and helping to be more effective as you go through.
What's the best way to both communicate and work with your career advisory board during a job search? Should you try to get everybody together on a Zoom call? Should you deal with them on a one-on-one basis, depending on their areas of expertise? What have you seen be effective?
Sure. I think that, once again, I think it's even just difficult based on people's schedules and all of that to get people all together on one call. In the one scenario I can see that working is maybe if the individuals on your advisory board know each other already, or if you are intentional in maybe trying to connect them, and that might be where you can add value to the people who are on your advisory board by making introductions on their behalf, and might be to other well-placed, you know, senior individuals who are also on your advisory board. And if you can maybe cultivate relationships between all of them or a few of them, that might allow you to convene a call all at once. But outside of that, I think that convening with them one-on-one usually works the best. We have a plethora of options these days with all this tech, you know, at our fingertips to connect, whether it's WhatsApp, like I mentioned, your iPhone, iMessage, FaceTime, Zoom, Slack, Teams, you know, I could go on, and this is not a plug for all these companies, but there's so many ways that you can keep connected with individuals on your advisory board. And I think that it's your job as the advisee or the convener of this board to provide updates as often as possible. I think it's great to get back to your advisors with how the advice they gave you turned out once you took action. I think it's important to try to add value to them where possible. As I said, providing connections to your own network, sending them interesting articles, giving them heads about a conference or any other information that they could find valuable. I think it should be an exchange of energy, not just you sucking up their energy and receiving all their advice without ever giving anything back.
I'm glad you brought that up. I meet many job seekers who worry, particularly after they meet someone for an informational interview, who's given some advice, perhaps some introductions, and they worry, well, I don't want to bother this person. She's very busy. I'll let her be. It sounds like you found it useful to not only ask for help, but look for ways to serve the people on your board too.
Yeah, definitely. I was listening to your last episode with Lav Chintapalli. I hope I got her name correct.
You did.
And wonderful. and so I remember her, saying that when you are trying to add value to someone, it just takes a little bit of research. And so she used you, Mac, as an example. If someone wants to build a relationship with you, maybe they could suggest a really great podcast guest that you could reach out to, that they have a personal connection to, and they can make that introduction. That's a way to add value to Mac before you ever ask Mac for anything in return. And so if you get to know the people, well, obviously you know the people and should know the people on your advisory board well enough to try to figure out, you know, what gaps do they have that I can fill. It could be informational, it could be relational, it could be, you know, pick your word. There are ways that you have available to you at immediate disposal to add value because you have value. And so I think the main takeaway is that job seekers should not be approaching, whether it's an advisory board member, a potential one, or a networking contact, with their hat in hand in a very diminished, you know, beggar-like position, pardon my language, but I hope that the idea is coming through. But you have inherent value, and you should take confidence in that and own that as you approach someone, know that you can also be of help to them and that you're not just someone who's looking to extract, but you're looking to exchange value.
So you've gone through your job search, you've gotten an offer, and along the way, the members of your career advisory board have given you advice and coaching and helped with introductions. Now the search is behind you. Do you discontinue your career advisory board, or how do you work with it going forward, Niatu?
Great question. When I originally wrote this article about, you know, creating your own advisory board, I wasn't even thinking about the job search as a standalone option or context within which to form this board. I was thinking much more broadly and much more long term. And I don't even think I mentioned the job search, quite honestly, in that original article. I really think of the advisory board as something that you can carry from the start to the finish of your career. It's going to evolve over time. Members may come in and come out. There might be some fixed members who are there with you for the long haul. But I don't think it's something that's going to be disbanded. I think it's something that might expand or evolve over time. But I don't think disbanding is a part of the equation at all, because you are going to evolve, your needs are going to evolve, and you're always going to need external input to support you. None of us, you know, are an island unto ourselves, and this is why having the external input is so valuable. And I don't know at what point we'd never not need that.
And how do you see career advisory boards changing over time in your work with your clients and with others in the field? How does it change over the years?
Sure. I'll use myself as an example. I have a few people I'm in contact with who I would call my advisory board. I recently proactively formed, I call it like a resume writing best practices circle. And so I reached out to my partner in crime, Leslie Garr. We do our monthly LinkedIn Live together behind hiring. And also a recent guest, Tegan Bartos, and I approached them, said, "Hey guys, you know, we're all resume writers. And, you know, I know that I don't know everything about this craft, and I'd love to get your input, your critiques and feedback on what I'm doing. And I'd love to do the same for you." And so this is me proactively building people, building my advisory board with two people I think can speak into what I'm doing. I can also speak into what they're doing, who at my career level and actually been maybe doing their coaching thing a bit longer than I have. And so at this phase, as I'm only 2 years into my business, having that type of support is really important to me. Maybe a few years down the line, or maybe a year from now, we might no longer need this resume best practice circle, but it might evolve into us just sharing, well, how do we grow our business? How do we market ourselves better? You know, how do we build new products and new services that we can offer to our clients? That might be the natural evolution of what our particular advisory board is talking about, because the natural evolution of our businesses as a collective. And so for the individual, their needs are going to change over time. And so the advisory board might, you know, change. Maybe you switch industries and, you know, one or two advisory board members you had are no longer relevant. Not that they're useless to you, but they can't speak into this new industry that you're in because they're not part of it. And so as you progress in your career, I think it's about having a board that can be responsive to your needs at the time. I'm not talking about, you know, doing a reduction in force on your advisory board per se, but, you know, there might be some times where things will naturally progress and change as they do with our friendships in outside of our careers.
Well, it's been a terrific conversation, Niatu. Now, tell us, what's next for you?
Sure. So in my private practice, you can consider me a job search coach. And so the bread and butter of what I do for my clients is around resume and LinkedIn writing. I offer job search networking strategy as well as interview prep coaching. And those are the core of my offerings that I love to support people in and telling their story. In addition, I'm really excited to say that I'm in the process of building a group coaching program. I really want to try and be able to support more people in their job search efforts. And so scaling up my services is about being able to serve at a group level. And that's what I'm excited to be looking to do next, and hopefully launching that in late September or early October, this group coaching program around the job search.
Well, I know listeners can learn more about you and your services by visiting your website, avenircareers.com. We'll include a link to your site in the show notes. And I know you also encourage people to connect with you on LinkedIn, and I hope when they do so, they mention the show and how they heard you. Now, Niatu, given all the great advice you've shared today, what's the one thing you want a listener to remember about why you need your own career advisory board?
I think it all boils down to don't do things alone when you don't have to do them alone. I know that asking for help can be very challenging for different people for many different reasons. I know that men might tend to be, on average, a bit more averse to asking for help. Many of my clients are women, in fact, in my career coaching practice. Women are a little bit better asking for help when they need it versus us guys. But ultimately, it's important to realize that you don't have to do it all alone, and that, again, going back to the first piece, you don't have all the answers. And so it might take a bit of humility. It might take a bit of necessity, but I'd encourage everyone out there to start thinking through, well, where would I start if I was going to build this advisory board? Who do I have easy access to that can help speak into my life, who knows me well, who's got good intentions, and will give me truthful and balanced advice? And this is something that can do you nothing but good as you try to progress your career and get to where you're going. I think if you were to interview a very successful, you know, leader, CEO, they would speak to all the people along their path that have helped them. And so if they can do it, why can't we?
Make sure you never miss an episode of Find Your Dream Job. Subscribe to our free podcast newsletter. You'll get information about our guests and transcripts of every show. Go to maxlist.org/show notes. Again, that's maxlist.org/show notes. Next week, our guest will be Peter Pascal. He's an author, radio show host, and the founder of Career Makers. Peter says, there are basic job search principles that we all need to know. Once you understand them, your job search not only gets easier, it gets you the results you want. Join us next Wednesday when Peter Pascal and I talk about the 10 truths of job transition. Until then, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job. The show is brought to you by MaxList. Susan Thornton Huff schedules our guests. Lisa Kislin-Barry Anderson writes our social media posts. Our sound engineer is Will Watts. Ryan Morrison at Podfly Productions edits the show. Don Mole creates our transcripts, and our music is by Freddie Trujillo. This is Mac Pritchard. See you next week.